Hey everyone, welcome to your podcast. Mike, how are you?
Well, I could be better. Obviously, I sound a little different this week.
Yeah, you made the mistake of letting your computer do an update just about an hour before we started the show, and
it's still not done. Yeah, so I'm on the laptop.
And I'm under a time crunch, so it's okay. You called in via laptop. So I guess that's a tip number one for the day, is to don't update your laptop unless you have plenty time, or your desktop either, before you get ready to record a show, or you may not be recording one.
Yeah, that is for sure. But hey, anything in a pinch, that's why I have the backups to the backups.
That's so. Right. So this is the second edition of your podcast. So today we want to kind of get a little more formalized in how we're going to put the show out. And we had a little bit of feedback from folks that said we picked a unique name for the show. And truly, you know, we could probably do the, you know, the a round robin of your podcast. Hey, this is your podcast type of thing. But just want to let you know that this show really is about your podcast and being able to help you improve your show and give you tips that we've learned along the way. But Mike, I've got a short stack of tips. We've got some news and then we have some tech topics. So I think that we'll start off with talking about the tips on how live, and I basically put this in last night, how live, aka how doing live, can help you be a better podcaster. Mike, have you done much? You've done some live, yeah?
I've done a little bit. Usually it's either I'm guesting on a show with somebody else that's live, or I've done it a couple of times myself. And yeah, it makes you more, makes you try to get it right the first time. So it kind of avoids the editing process. And I really think it helps. I don't do a lot of it. But it's definitely put you more on the spot.
Yeah, one thing that I learned is, and I did my first 600 and I think 76 shows. I think I actually got the number down. The first 676 shows I did was audio only, and then I had this harebrained idea: why don't I do video? And so, well, since I'm doing video, why don't I do live? And so I did all at once, and it was a little bit of a learning experience for me, because really up to that point, I just had this natural flow with the audio show. But then I realized I'm also talking to a live audience, and also if you make mistakes, you really can't go back, especially if you're doing live video. There's really no way to recover. So for me, the benefit of doing live really forced me to prepare a little bit better. And then, as you said, Mike, choose my words carefully. You know, you and I both follow pretty much the same etiquette in editing. Unless we make a major goof, we don't do too much editing. I know you did a little bit of editing on the last show. How much time did you spend editing the last show?
Oh, I would say all I did was, what happened was we had a little glitch at the beginning where, you know, we both record on each end just in case. And I needed to take your recording and use the first little bit of it to tack it onto my recording, because we had a little glitch in Skype. But other than that, not much editing at all.
I think we had just a little glitch here just a second ago when you first started talking about how much editing you did. So what was the actual amount of time? Do you think you spent 15 minutes or?
Yeah, it was probably 15 minutes at most.
You know, I've went against a lot of the discussions that are going on now in the podcasting space. I don't edit at all. You know, I cut the ends and I'm done with it. Then do a little leveling, So, you know, it was just waiting for the process of the filters that I have set up to run. That's the extent of my editing. And really, to be honest with you, I start recording my personal show about 8 o'clock Hawaiian Standard Time, and I get done at about 9:15, and the content that I record is basically immediately starting to expire because I do a new show. So I have to get the content out. So it's really, there is no editing time. That media is up by, you know, by 10 p.m. and available for people to download. So, but for me, it's been a lifesaver because I would not be podcasting if I was still editing. But what I found, going back to the original tip here, is that live helped me become a better podcaster, so that even after I had been doing the show for 6 years, live forced me to try to get it right the first time. I don't always get it right, but at least then you can see the mix-ups on video, and we can all laugh together. That's kind of how the way it works. But I've lived by that motto of not editing. Now, some of you just won't be able to do that. Some of you will have to edit. But I'm just warning you that it's a time suck. It'll just suck the life out of you from a time standpoint. So if you're married and you're spending an hour doing the show, or let's say you're doing an hour and a half, 2 hours of prep, because that's what I do. I do most of my front end prep is an hour to hour and a half of prep, record the show. And then if you're spending a bunch of time editing the show afterwards, you may have a spouse that, especially in the early days, it's saying, what are you doing? Especially if you're not making a lot of money. So my suggestion has always been, you know, limit the editing and spend time promoting. You get much more bang for the buck, or much more bang for the time, by promoting. So was that a strategy that you used, Mike, or what was your strategy when you started a new show?
Well, when I first started, I was editing all the ums and ahs out of it, and I was, you know, spending hours messing with it. And I finally said, you know what? I'm going to make it sound as decent as I can and call it good, you know, sort of live to the hard drive. And that's what I do. I trim the ends. I do some leveling. Maybe, you know, if I made a goof up in a certain spot, I'll try to write time down when I do it, and maybe go in and tweak it. But otherwise, let it fly. You know, that's the beauty of podcasting. You know, it's a more intimate relationship with the host as the listener. And, you know, when you're talking across the bar table with somebody, or at the restaurant, or, you know, wherever, people make mistakes. They don't talk like broadcasters. And, you know, most podcasters don't either.
Right.
So why not let that show through?
And especially when you're new, those early days are going to be spent a lot of time just learning your trade, learning to do the show. So have fun with it. And, you know, don't quit because the editing's taking too long, or don't listen to a lot of these folks are saying you have to edit or your audience is going to go away. Or if you do edit, try to limit it. Don't go, you know, hog wild and spend 5 hours editing every little mistake. All right. Let's talk about album art refresh. How often are you updating your album art, Mike?
I try to do it about once a year. I'll go through and just update it. And usually I don't do anything major, you know, I'll just clean it up, maybe freshen it up a little bit. But I see, 3 to 6 months, a lot of people do. But I go about a year, but I may be different than other people.
They say that, and I've heard this from some of the very big managers, like some of the folks over at iTunes, or even when Rob Greenlee was updating their managing the Zune podcast directory when that existed years ago, he said he would see shows get a bump in subscribers if they periodically updated their album art. So it's just like anything else. You go to the store and you're walking down the aisle, and let's say, for example, your favorite soda can. Well, I mean, let's, you know, soda's does this a lot. They do a branded soda, like Coke does a branded Coke can for Christmas. And so you'd get your eye. What's that? Let me look at this. And it's one of those things where it may cause people to actually take a second look where maybe they'd pass you by for a number of episodes or looking for a new show. So updating your album art on a periodic basis is smart. I try to do mine every 3 to 6 months. I don't always achieve that. And, I've been doing a show 12 plus years. It's really hard to keep coming up with fresh creative. But if nothing else, do a little refresh at least once a year, but try to do it more often than that in order to drive more traffic. I know folks that change out their album art monthly and they have stuff in rotation. So it's just more of a way to catch a new listener's eye that something has changed and maybe I need to take a look.
Yeah, Adam Curry and John Dvorak with their No Agenda show, they change that artwork every episode. And it's not episode level artwork. They change the whole show's artwork every episode.
They change, they don't do just episode, they do the show level too. That's amazing.
Yep, they do that every time. So if you're, like I use Pocket Casts, and every time I get a new No Agenda, I always like to hit refresh artwork just to see what their new artwork is.
I know that they did episode level every episode, and I do the same. I have about 40 pieces of art that I run through and do. Not all podcatchers will do fresh episode art every time, but some do. And so I do change out my episode art every episode, but I've got about 40 that I do in rotation. So it lasts me about every 3 months. It rotates into the new album art as far as an episode level, but not at the show level. That's interesting. Let's move into news. We've got some news in the street that hit last week that is important about Google. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, Google came out with a new podcasting, I guess it's part of their algorithm. And basically, if you have your feed address and your show title in the header in a specific way, when you search for it currently I think it's just the Android Google app, but I think it's going to roll out across all their search, it'll bring up a player right in the search results.
Well, that's cool.
And I haven't really dug into it too deep, but we asked Angelo about, hey, we better get this into PowerPress. Come to find out, we already have it in PowerPress.
So all the requirements that Google requires for this new podcast search result, where it's basically a box with a player in it, and the latest episode, some show notes, which I saw an example of, it looks pretty cool. So for those of you who are listening to the show, you'll want to, in the show links today, there'll be a link to the specific Google article at google.com on their development site that will show you what it's going to look like in the search result box. So with PowerPress, is there anything folks have to make sure any setting is supposed to be set? Or?
Yeah, you just go into the Feeds tab, make sure you're in advanced mode. Go into the Feeds tab of your PowerPress settings, and there's a checkbox there that says include podcast feed links and HTML headers. You check that box, hit save settings, and you're done. And that puts the feed and the title in the header just the way Google likes it.
So what if someone is using someone else's feed? In other words, you're on your own .com and you have a feed, but it's hosted by your hosting provider. Are they able to do this?
Not that I know of. I don't think there's any settings that you can do at your host provider. I mean, even Blueberry, we have hosted feeds as well. And currently, there's no way to do that even with Blueberry, but other places like Libsyn, Podbean, and whatever else, I do not believe they have that implemented yet.
Could it be that the search results for a show actually shows the Libsyn page? Could that happen? Because, Libsyn customer has a website.
Yeah, if they go to the Libsyn website instead of your own website, of course, it's going to go back to the Libsyn listing for that show, not the .com that you own.
So this is another example why it's good to have your own website and and have your own RSS feed associated with your website. So we're vindicated once again, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I was very happy to find that we were already complying with that. So, and I've been telling people, you know, all along, turn that on for other reasons, because it also helps the Bing crawler find podcasts to put in the Microsoft directory.
Oh. So in the Feeds tab, you just check the box, include podcast feed link in HTML headers and save settings. So that's basically going to put information not in your RSS feed. It's going to put it in the header of your website. That's the key, right?
Yeah, and that helps the bots, you know, from Bing and from Google and anyone else that's searching the web like that to find out that there's a podcast there and how to get it.
So that's going to be a huge advantage for any PowerPress user that is hosting their own feed, as they should be, as we have advocated for, at least I've advocated for the last 11 years. Having your own feed associated with your own .com with this implemented will definitely give you a technical advantage when someone is searching for a show and you're in the search results and it's at least now in the Android app, but more than likely it'll probably expand into Google.com's web page search. It'll definitely give you a leg up over shows that are basically don't control their own feed and have someone else that owns their feed. So I would be pissed if I was hosting in a third-party site and all of a sudden the search results drove them back to their page versus my page. And that's going to happen too, because the links in those search results link back, for at least for Libsyn's, the way we were looking at it, at least on Libsyn, if someone clicked on the link, it brings them back to Libsyn versus bringing them to their .com. Even if they're, you know, that's a caution. So even if you have your own .com and you're using Libsyn for hosting only, this search result will send them to Libsyn versus your .com.
Yeah, if you're using the feed, if you're using Libsyn with PowerPress, then it'll still work.
Right. So if you're using them for hosting, but you're using PowerPress and our feed. So don't let them, you know, when you hear these, you know, and it just goes back to our longtime philosophy. There's a quarter of the internet is being powered by WordPress, and every one of those WordPress sites have an RSS feed by default that WordPress creates. So when someone tells you that a WordPress feed is not stable, just keep that in mind, that 25% of the internet has their RSS feed coming from their own .com already. Now, if you're on a very, very, very cheap hosting plan and you have an incredible amount of traffic, well, your whole site's going to have challenges, not just your feed. So keep that in mind as well, you know, as your show grows.
I mean, think of it this way. If you've got a full-size pickup truck, but you have a four-cylinder engine in it, it's not going to be as efficient as one with a V8 in it.
Right.
And so you have to have the server that's got enough horsepower to, operate your site with all the traffic on it. You know, so that is maybe a slight disadvantage, but you know, you got to have the tool for the job. And WordPress is a very stable platform. You just have to have the infrastructure behind it to make it, you know, capable of doing all the traffic.
Right.
And that's more the web server, not the software.
Gotcha. Let's move into some. You have some tech topics. So apparently, you've had some questions over the past couple of weeks that came four of mine. What are the tech topics we have today?
Well, it's mainly subscribe links. On PowerPress, there's subscribe links under the player. There's subscribe links that you can put in your sidebar via a widget, and there's some subscribe links right in our player. And, you know, do you think we want you to subscribe? Of course, but there's different places to populate those links. Like in an iTunes case, if you're using PowerPress, you have to put that subscribe link you know, the one that they send you when they approve your show. You take that and you put it in the destinations tab of PowerPress where it says iTunes subscription URL. And that's what populates that link. But the player on the page, you know, if you're using our fancy player, you're hosting with us, you should also put it in your Blueberry settings under your listing, your directory listing settings. And that will populate the iTunes link in the Blueberry listing and in the Blueberry player.
So you're talking two different things. You're talking about the PowerPress settings, and then you're talking about Blueberry.com settings.
Correct. Okay. A lot of people will sign up for hosting. They'll use PowerPress and everything else, but they'll never come back to Blueberry and give us your feed address, for one thing.
Oh.
Because we don't know that automatically.
Right. Yep.
And second off, you know, throw that iTunes link in the same directory listing settings, and that way all the iTunes links are going to go right to your iTunes listing. The Android one is pretty automatic, just based on your feed. But there's also links available for Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. And so, you know, you have blocks for that in the destinations folder in PowerPress to populate all those links.
So the key, though, is to make sure, and here's the takeaway, everyone, is that get the, you know, in PowerPress, that's great for your site. But if you also want the same ability for people to subscribe to your show on the directory at blueberry.com, you need to come over to blueberry.com and make sure that you fill the settings out there as well, so that we can populate those links with the correct link back to iTunes. So, okay, that makes sense. And, you know, sadly, that doesn't sync back and forth. Maybe someday we'll be able to make it so we'll auto sync, but I don't think the coders have got that.
Yeah, well, that's part of our philosophy, is we want you to promote you, not us.
Right.
So we don't force you to be in our directory, even if you're hosting with us.
Right.
We'd like you to be in our directory and all that. And, you know, and it's an advantage to you to be everywhere. So why not? And, you know, the whole thing is you want people to subscribe to your show.
Yep.
You know, so many times I hear people say, subscribe, you know, go find me in iTunes and subscribe. And if I'm sitting here on an Android phone and I've been searching the web and I hit play on one of your buttons, there's no way I can go to iTunes to subscribe. So, you know, why not send them back to your site and give them all the options possible?
Yeah. And I always tell them to come to my website. I never tell them to go to iTunes. I tell them come to geeknewscentral.com, or what we should do in this case, come to powerpresspodcast.com. And subscribe to both the PowerPress podcast show and your podcast. You know, subscribe to both. Your podcast being this podcast.
Yep, exactly. And underneath the player for this one will be the links that go with this show. And under the player for the PowerPress podcast, there's links that go with that show. Also on the sidebar, we have two widgets there at PowerPress Podcast. So, you know, be sure to subscribe to both shows.
You know, When I've done my website, and you know, my main goal is you hit my page, I want them to know, even they've come in from a Google search, and this is, you know, I've talked about this many times in other forums, but when someone comes to my website because they've come to a web page that may be just a blog post and not a podcast post, when they land on the site, they will immediately see, if unless they're blind, they'll see on the right hand column of the website the big, you know, basically the subscribe options to the podcast, and a percentage of those people will click that. They any page you land on any of my sites, you'll be able to subscribe to the podcast within a second of the page loading. So, you know, we want, and you should want, people to subscribe to your show. And you want to give them the opportunity to do that through, and by, you know, basically visiting your website, visiting your brand, your podcast site. And in as a last resort, we want them to find you in iTunes, you know, because there are 300 and some thousand shows in iTunes. And I can almost guarantee, and you just do it yourself, you go to the iTunes directory and you search for your show. Look at all the number of shows that come up that are competing with you. So you know, your number one thing is you don't want them to have an opportunity to get distracted and go click on, you know, Tony's show. You want them to click on your show or your podcast. So again, have them come to your site. And this is doing social media. This is discussing your show on forums. This is talking about your show, you're subscribing to your show in your podcast. You know, any place that you're at, you have to have a central location to drive them to. And if you keep doing that, you know, week after week after week, what ends up happening then too is, as other people link to your site externally, third parties, people that you're interviewing, you start building Google juice for the terms on your webpage that you want people to find your show with. So that's why it's important to have, and we'll go into show notes in another episode, but that's why it's always good to always say, write for Google, record for the audience.
Exactly. You know, that's who you're going for. And, you know, on top of that, I always get questions like, you know, what link should I share in Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever to my show when I put out an episode? And I always say the post where your episode is on your website is the best link to share, because it has, you know, if you're doing it the way we suggest, you'll have all your subscribe links there. You'll have the show notes for that show. And people don't have to go search somewhere else. You know, I've seen people share the iTunes store listing link in social media. And, you know, that cuts out 50% of your potential audience, maybe more.
Well, I've seen people make it impossible to find their subscribe links on the homepage of their website. You have to go to a second or third page. And if any of you look at your website metrics using your Google Analytics to look at actually what's happened with your website traffic and look at the bounce rate, look at how many people hit your front page and leave, never get deeper than the front page. And I think you'll all will come to the realization very, very quickly, within like a New York minute, that that you better have those subscribe buttons on the homepage when they land there. And some of you are going to, you know, if you're with a team, some people are going to fight you on that. But just go to that web analytics page, grab the bounce rates, and you know, when 80% or 90% of your folks that land on your website do not get beyond the homepage, that's going to make you understand implicitly why you need to have that subscribe sidebar on your website, using just basically drag it from the widgets. Put it in your sidebar on WordPress, and you're golden. You're running. Or if you don't like our buttons, make your own. But we've made our buttons set up such that they can, they're basically set up for as a standard, so that if a person's on an iPad or an iPhone or on an Android and they click on the subscribe link, their finger will actually cause an action no matter where they hit the graphic. So therein lies the, it follows a material design. It's beyond me. I'm not a designer.
Yeah, me either.
But Mike, this anything else before we kick him out of here today?
No, I think, like I said, back to the beginning of the show, do not do any computer updates just before you're supposed to record. and always have a backup plan.
And how can they reach us? Because we did implement the email after the last show.
Yep, it's yourpodcast@blueberry.com.
And of course, if you have questions for Mike and I, please use that email address. Mike, of course, can be reached by phone 9 to 5, manning the Blueberry support line. So how's it, call's been crazy today, or actually not too much because you've been on with me for the last 30 minutes?
Yeah, it's not been too bad today. Something happened yesterday. I'm not sure what that was, but the phone was ringing off the hook. But it goes in spurts, and it's really great to talk to people.
It's a full moon. I don't know if it is or not. But this is a big difference with us. You can call a friend when you're in a jam. So at least Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and then we man the support email pretty much. Well, we're watching it for the guy that's in, or gal that's in a panic. So. And then we do our normal support responses during normal business hours, but we try to get to them as we can. All right. Everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening to your podcast. And you can find your podcast at powerpresspodcast.com. Everyone take care. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Catch you later.